Good morning. We are so grateful to be invited here to First Baptist, and we always feel that a really important part of us doing this is that you get to see what your prayers and your finances have purchased. And you know, you don't have to look very deep to see how much these young men and women love the Lord with all of their hearts. And I was reading this week in the book of Luke, and there's a piece of scripture where it says that when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons, to cure diseases, and to send them out to preach the kingdom of God, and to even heal the sick. And I feel that that's kind of what happens, that we are given a remnant of young people from the churches, and you're one of them, where we take these young people out of your midst that you have equipped and trained, and they come out to the quest, and God gives them authority to speak the kingdom of God into the lives of the children that come. And they have just amazing hearts to serve the children. And this past winter, when I was at a Baptist pastor's conference, the Lord sort of gave me a vision of what the quest really means. And the Lord showed me scenes that were just heartbreaking, scenes of young people that were weeping over loss, over divorce, drug addiction, peer pressure, just the call of the darkness that's in the world. And I wept over that, and I said to God, how can we reach these young people? And the Lord began to show me in this vision that these young men and women that come and set apart their summers to serve the Lord, they are allowed to tell the real story, the one that says that there is a Savior who loves them, and that regardless of the conditions that they'll go home to, that they have a Savior, one who can rescue them in the midst of the darkness. And that's really what happens out there. And that the harvest is white, and our tiny little group is small. But God has so anointed these young people to speak into the lives of the kids that come to the camp. And never underestimate the depth of what is going on in the children that come out to the quest. And we've seen the brokenness and the pain that comes out in ways like bad behavior or rebellion. But the very heart of them is the cry that they need to know their Savior. So I've asked a bunch of our guys to come and share with you some things, and I especially picked the First Baptist guys to come and share. So, Danny?
I'm Danielle, if you don't know me, and I'm assisting cook at the Quest. And God's just been really showing me that he's in control of every situation. In 1 Samuel 23, the last part of verse 24, or 14, I mean, it says, day after day, Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands. And I just find that so amazing because Saul was a king, and the amount of, like, he had thousands and thousands of men in his army, and the amount of money he had, like, so many resources, and God said, no, you're not going to kill David, he's my chosen one. And that God was just able to say, you know, you may have all this power and all these men, but you can't find him. I've protected him. And I find that, like, if God can do that, then he can take care of my little situations. And, like, if I'm worrying about, do we have enough food, or the grocery truck comes right in the middle of lunch, and God's just going to take care of that. So, thank you.
Well, I'm Trish, if you guys don't know me. And although this has been my second year at the Quest, it's my first year as a junior counselor in a cabin. And I've been working on the docks for a bit with water sports, and it's been really good. One thing God has really been teaching me this summer is how to be obedient to Him, and the results show that it pays off. One occasion that really stands out in my mind is during the intermediates camp. I was cabin leading with my friend Claire, and on one of the last nights, we had planned to share our testimonies. But while we were walking to the cabin that night, we stopped and began to pray, and then we started talking about something that happened during an MDT challenge. And while we were talking, I felt God tugging at my heart to tell our cabin about that instead. And so I told Claire, and we decided to be obedient to God. And later that night, after we had shared, the girls started asking tons of questions and opening up. And these are the girls that couldn't get serious during any of the encounters or during worship, and they just totally started paying attention and really trying to get interested. And we began to give them answers to questions that they hadn't even thought of before in their minds. And I think that Claire and I both realized that night that if we hadn't obeyed God's nudging, then the girls probably wouldn't have opened up like they did. And I'm going to close with one of my favorite verses, which is Joshua 1:9. And it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified and do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go."
Hi, my name is Claire. One thing that the Lord has been doing throughout my life this summer is really teaching me how to be a leader. And originally, I'm the person who stands on the sidelines and really just follows along because she doesn't know what to do. Hold on one second. And so this summer, God's just been giving me tons of opportunities to be a leader. And the first one was really during MDT. I thought I was just a lifeguard. I'd just be doing lifeguarding, nothing else. And I get there and it turns out I'm helping plan initiatives and leading group activities and teaching others. And it was really just an amazing thing for me to be part of. And also then I was a senior cabin leader, which is another opportunity just for me to reach out to the kids and bring them to the Lord. And originally I was thinking, I'm not worthy of this. Why would the Lord want me to do this? I'm not the right person. There's always someone better. But then He gave me a verse, and it's Exodus 4:11-12. The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." And throughout the summer, I've just been looking at this verse and thinking, I am worthy. He's brought me to camp for a reason.
Good morning. I'm going to open up with this verse. It's Romans 12:7-8. And it says, "If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." And it's really interesting that both Claire and Trish have talked about following God, maybe if they don't feel they're up to it. Because if there's one thing God has shown me this year, it's that we should follow God despite whether we think we're capable, despite whether we think there's someone better to do it. And I have a story about one of your, kids who come to this camp or this church, and it's Matt Brad. And I remember during staff training really early this year, he was up and he seemed to think he was going to do maintenance all summer. And I remember talking to him, and I asked him if he would be up for cabin leading, and he said, "No, I don't think I'd be a good cabin leader. I don't think I could do it." But he has cabin led, and he's cabin led very well, and I don't think he thinks he could have done it, but he was faithful to God, and he was put in that position, and he's done an amazing job, and that's pretty much how the summer has been for me. Thank you.
Hi, guys. You already know my name. My name is Matt. For those of you that don't know, Matt Brad.
What?
Yeah, the original one. Yeah, kind of like Taylor said, when I came up to the camp, I thought I'd be doing maintenance. And each week I've come up to camp, it's always been a big surprise because I'll get moved around like there's no tomorrow, from job to job to job. But it's for the kingdom, so it's all good. Yeah, camp's been a really good time. There's lots of kids that are coming up there searching for God with lots of questions. And so I'm going to read this verse to you guys because it kind of reminds me of an important point I'm about to bring up. It's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 to 34, which says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought, and stop sinning. For there are some of you who are ignorant of God, and I say this to your shame." And that kind of reminds me that you got to make what you're teaching these kids during devotions, encounter, and everything stick, so that they'll apply it to their lives when they get home, which is really important. Because lots of these kids have never, some of these kids have never met God before, don't know him personally. And part of your job up there is to lead them to get to know the Lord better, or to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. And that's it.
Hi. My name's Byron. I think most of you know me. I'm with the third row. Except my dad. I don't know where he is. Maybe he's... Oh, he's skipping. Anyway, I'm just going to tell you a little bit like about my pre-camp stuff and going into camp. And I had a conversation with Nathan. He's another worker. He's not here right now, though. But we were talking, I think it was in the winter sometime, just about like how we've been at camp and if we think God is still using us at camp and if we've kind of overstayed it or not, kind of thing. And we were already accepted to work at camp and as cabin leaders, and so that was the plan still. And then we were talking about if we were going to be coming back for another year, if this was going to be our last year or not. And I said, well, I would like to come back for another year, but maybe just do like some support staff stuff like next year and maybe do the video. And I told him that, and he was like, oh, that'd be cool. And so camp started this year, and right before camp started, Linda came up to me and she's like, yeah, I don't have you in a cabin this week, but I was wondering if you wouldn't mind, like, if you can do the video and stuff. And so she talked to me about that, and I was like, wow, that's weird. And so I did that, and I guess that's maybe God's way of telling me that he's used me in the cabin already, and it was great. Like so I did that or whatever, and now I'm doing the video, and I think just God's using me like that. And so I don't know like what next year's gonna be like, if God will use me for something else up there or not, but it's just really cool to see that it's working that well, and just things I've thought about would be like what I would be doing next year, and he's just putting it there for me right now, and it's been really cool. And it's really cool being support staff up there this year, because I get to see just kind of like from the sidelines, I get to see the interactions between the staff and the campers, and there's tons of new staff up there. And it's really cool too that since I've kind of made the transition from out of a cabin and just onto support staff, just seeing the new staff that's coming up and that are going to be the future cabin leaders, and they're really great with the kids, and their God is just using these kids like so much, and it's really amazing just to see them work with the kids. And so it's really cool just to know what kind of like hands the campers are going to be in the next few years. So it's really cool, and I just see so many great things, and God is just working through all the staff up there and just with all the campers. It's really nice. And yeah, it's a really good summer, and it's going really well so far. So I just want to thank you two for just all your prayer and support, because I know you guys are always praying for us and thinking about us. So thank you.
Hello. Well, my name is Sherry. I've been up at the Quest since almost as long as I can remember. I've been a camper there, and I've been staff there for a really long time. And so it's really cool to see the direction that the camp is going now, and it's really cool to sort of put myself back in the place of what it's like to be a camper and to sort of remember the things that they're thinking and the things that they're feeling. And it's fun to be a camper because you remember everything that goes on. You remember everything that staff members say to you. You remember every word to every song you sing. You remember so much. And I don't think in the other 51 weeks of the year, those kids remember as much as they remember as when they're at camp, so that's really cool. One thing that I've been really blessed with this year is to be able to see the campers, is to be up on stage and to be able to see the campers during the worship time. And I sometimes close my eyes and imagine what it would be like if we were the people in the Old Testament and the Bible, and I, you know, sort of wonder like if we'd be wearing funny looking sandals and long robes with things tied around our waist. And I just always used to imagine that all these people, you know, knew exactly what God wanted in their lives. They knew exactly what to do, and they knew exactly where they were standing with God, whether he was pleased with them or whether he wasn't. And they didn't all the time. They all come from different places, and it's so cool to look out and to see the campers and these little kids, some of them older, some of them younger, and to know that all of them are in different places when they come up to camp. They all have different life experiences, and you know, they all are learning different things about God. And it's the coolest thing to look out and to see all these people just worshiping God, just so excited about it, and it's just from the bottom of their heart. And I just want to read a little bit to you from Exodus. It says this: "In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble." And I just this summer feel so honored to be able to see what's going on in the lives of these kids, and to know that for me, I became a Christian when I was really young, but it took me a long time, a lot of years of coming up to camp and learning things, and God's really into slow cooking us. He sometimes zaps some of us right away, but a lot of us, it takes us a long time to sort of understand how he's working in our lives. And it's really interesting to see these kids come back to camp and to see how God is changing them. And I've been able to be in contact with some of them all year, and so it's really encouraging to see throughout the year how God is changing them, and how this stuff that they learn up at camp and the stuff they experience is real, and it does change them. And sometimes it takes longer than others, but it's really been a very big blessing for me this year to be up there.
Well, hi, my name is Jeff. For those of you who don't know me, pleased to be back here. I have the unique privilege of kind of being in a pastoral care role with this staff, with these amazing young people who love God and challenge me every day. And you know, there are times where I feel like some of the things I share just bounce right back off them, and I'm the one being convicted about it. And it's really neat how God has been doing that all summer for me. And I just want to thank them, and I want to thank you as a church who prays for us and supports us, because God is in our midst at camp, and he is doing some amazing things. But you need to know that being up at camp, in a way, is kind of like being in a bubble. You know, it is such an incredible place to be. It is so aesthetically beautiful, so peaceful. And, you know, the longer you're there, the more you get to know people, the more relaxed you become. And you know, one morning during our staff devotion, we were brought back to awareness when Brian Kent told us of bombs that went off in London. And, you know, being at this beautiful place up at camp, sometimes we can almost forget of what it's really like out there. And that's good for us to stay grounded in that awareness, because as our kids come week after week, this is what they're coming out of. And so we're given a task, we're given a mission from God to love them, to be really focused and intentional on allowing them to become a little bit disarmed and relaxed, and again, begin to open up and receive from God. And so I've been reflecting a lot about ministry in a camp setting and what that really looks like. I mean, we've heard about telling kids, you know, about the Lord who loves them and living that out and acting that out so that it's tangible for them. Answering questions. Linda mentioned, you know, there are times where there's a real need for healing. You know, one of the things that I've been reflecting on and God has spoken to me about in preparation for this morning is the question of why people really come to camp. Because there are a number of ideas out there. Some people think camp is just a great place to go to have fun. It's a great vacation. You can water ski, you can climb the new tower, you can do all kinds of amazing fun things. You can reconnect with friends, you can have all that fellowship, all that excitement, and the great memories. And camp is all that. But it is so much more. There's a focus to it all. God is the one who has called camp ministry into being, and he uses it as a kingdom-building tool. It's a place where people are not only brought to a saving knowledge of Jesus, but many people are refreshed and restored. And so as I've been reflecting, God has convinced me again that if it's true, like we pray that God would send people to us and would send the people to us that he wants us to minister to, then it's a fair conclusion to say that God is in fact answering our prayers and sending exactly those people that he wants to touch in the setting of the quest. And he calls us to minister to them. And in case you haven't picked it up yet, out of obedience, that is a real theme at camp this year, just being obedient to the Lord. So as a camp pastor, I kind of have that perspective, and I'm always trying to promote it, that we need to be sensitive to what God is doing and why God brought this particular person to us. And you know, a lot of what I do is, it's not up front. It's not public. A lot of what I do is prayer and intercession. I go around, I touch base with different people in different groups, and often I'll have one-on-ones with staff, I'll have one-on-ones with campers. And if there's a recurring theme that I've heard from some of our campers up to this point, is a sincere desire to just find that authentic Christian community that they've been so hungry for. I remember sitting with a young lady named Carly, and it was after an encounter where we were just sitting having a quiet time praying for one another, and she's just sitting there smiling, and she was so peaceful. And I asked her what the Lord was saying to her. I said, nothing much, but I just don't want to leave, because I never get to do this in my life. I never get to just sit and relax and enjoy the presence of God. And time again, in talking with different people, different campers especially, I also heard about a real struggle that many of our young people are having today. And that is, there are a lot of people who are coming out to youth events, and there are a lot of people in their youth groups back home that are really kind of shallow in their walk with God. And it's kind of taken me aback a little bit to hear that from young people, that they're really looking for a group of people who love God and want to go deep with God. And as I was praying about that, the Lord led me to a passage of scripture that I want to share with you today. And I believe that in obedience to God, I have a message to share this morning that is as much for us as staff as it is for the church. It's from the letter that Jude wrote. And just by way of background, I just want to say that when you study the book of Jude, you realize that there's two letters in view here. The one that he never actually got to write, the warm, loving, pastoral letter, and the one that he was forced to write when he heard of what was happening in the churches and he had to respond. I'll start in verse 17. He says, But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear.
hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. In Jude's letter, he makes the point very clear that as a church, and this is a church for all time, and we see it so focused up at camp, is that we are in a battle. In fact, it'd probably be better to say that we are in a pitched battle. There is a level of intensity. And this battle is against deception, it's against heresy, and it's against immorality, and the effect it can have on the people of God. There are people who want to know God, they want to draw close, and when a person is just going through the motions and saying things, but their hearts are far from God, it stands out and it brings discouragement, it brings division. We live in a world today where there are many people who pretend, who have an outward show of their faith, but the closer you get to know them, you realize they're not walking with the Lord at all. Our young people today are recognizing that. And when I had a talk with this young lady, Carly, she really brought it home to me. And we see time and time again after our encounter services where people are praying for one another, just holding on to each other. Sometimes you got to shoo them away because they don't want to leave. It is so amazing to be in a place where you are loved and accepted and you know the person next to you loves Jesus just as much, if not more, than you do. And people are open and their response is to God. We also live in a world where, you know, people come and they have questions that are just, they're serious questions. What about same-sex marriages? What about all this stuff? Why are some churches saying it's okay and others are saying no? We live in a world that is like this. There's confusion and immorality. We know about that. Our young people see it right away and they question it as well. Where is the standard of purity? Where do you draw the line? Jude reminds us of what the apostles taught us. He also says that complacency leads to surrendering territory. And this is one of the things that we see so much at camp, is the moment we begin to become complacent and lose our edge, we begin to lose ground with our campers. So we have to stay focused and entirely dependent upon the Holy Spirit. See, because commitment to the cause of Christ will bring stability and strength into our life. Jude also tells us that we need to strengthen ourselves. He tells us to build one another up in our most holy faith. And this is something that happens in an amazing way at camp. We share the Word of God with one another. We have devotions every day. We have 2 preaching sessions every day. There's a lot of sound doctrine that is put out, a lot of solid Bible teaching. And, you know, this past week in particular, Pastor Jason from Asquith Baptist Union Church, he blessed us so much, and he blessed these young people because he talked to them about the Ten Commandments. He talked to them about loving God. He talked to them about obedience to the Word of God. That is a message that we need to hear ourselves, don't we? We need to hear that continually. It's not always some new thing, all the bells and whistles, and it's not that. It's about what God says in His Word. And we don't need to go beyond that because it's more than enough. Amen? Amen. It says we are to pray in the Spirit, to pray in the Holy Spirit. This is something that we do. We thrive on prayer. We can't do anything without prayer at camp. And it's a message that needs to transfer to our lives when we leave the bubble, when we come back into the real world. It says we need to remain in the love of God. One of the things that I appreciate so much about life at camp is the freedom in worship. The freedom to just express the fact that we love God and He loves us and just to stay in that place. You know, we were singing a song, One Way Jesus, and I know for some it may be a little loud, for others, you know, there's this energy, and I was watching little Hannah and Matthew, they were jumping up and down. You know, we see by about Tuesday in a week at camp, people are more free to jump up and express that enthusiasm. You know, the word enthusiasm means to be enraptured with God. It comes from, well, I won't go into the Greek or nothing, but it's about enjoying God's presence and being free to express love to Him. And you know, camp is different. There's freedom there. and we can remain in God's love. We can encourage one another. We can keep the hope that we have as Christians, that our Lord has not left us as orphans. He has given us the Spirit, and He will return. This can be central. This can be kept in focus. Jude also says we need to move forward. We can't be complacent. We can't shrink back. Because something about being in a bubble is, it's really nice, and you get comfortable there, and you kind of don't want to leave. And you know, not only do we hear that from our campers, but I think it affects us as staff in a sense where we see that the summer is progressing, and we know that there will be a day when we go back to our lives. Well, all of us, we have times with great fellowship, times that are rich, and times that are just wonderful where we feel so close to God, but then we get back out into the real world and we feel things starting to drag us down. Well, Jude challenges us to show mercy to those who doubt. This is something that happens at camp. We have a lot of people who come there with questions, people who've been hurt, people whose faith has been shaken because of experiences they've had, and we're there to show mercy to them, to love them, to encourage them, to build them back up. Some of them we literally do need to snatch from the fire, like Jude says, to save them, because many people do stray, and we have the opportunity to build a relationship with them in a short term, and to pour into their lives, and to just really contend for their soul, to intercede for them. And we have seen many young people make decisions to recommit their lives. Those who have headed off in the wrong direction have turned and come back. And to others, we're encouraged to show mercy mixed with fear, because there are people who kind of have one foot in both camps. And we're said we're to hate even the clothing that has been polluted by the flesh. We can't lose sight that sin is something that is detestable to God. We need to love them, but we need to make no bones about it that this kind of sin, it cannot be tolerated. And so at camp, we minister to people in obedience to what the Word tells us. And I know that we need your prayers, because ministry at camp is really front line. We engage in very, very real spiritual warfare there. We engage in very focused relational evangelism. And you know, our God is pleased, our God is in our midst, and He leads us on in victory. But we can't do that without you. And so I just want to thank you for how faithful you have been. And I want to ask you to continue to be faithful to us and to our Lord. To listen to Him as He nudges your heart to pray for the camp, or to pray for this particular person who's serving at camp. Because as you do that, God will bless you. God will encourage your heart, and He will stretch your faith. Because you got to know, there have been people who have given their lives to the Lord this year. There's been reconciliation, restoration. There's been people who've laid down some pretty heavy burdens. And our God is amazing. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jared. I do some of the skateboarding at camp, and this is new, and so it's really exciting for me because I love to do it. I didn't think I could use it in a way to minister to kids. And God's been showing me some stuff at camp. I started out reading a book called Blue Lake Jazz. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but the guy who wrote it, Don Miller, really challenged me about how much I really love people. And I'm going to share you guys. In John 15, it says, "I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Just remain in my love. When you obey me, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father and remain in His love. I have told you this so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. And I command you to love each other in the same way that I love you. And here's how to measure it. The greatest love is showing when people lay down their lives for their friends. And I think that's so cool that God showed us, you know, kind of the measure of love to laying down his life for his friends, because that's what Jesus did for us. And so God just really showed me and convicted me of how much I really truly love people, how much, you know, good deeds are meaningless if they're not done in love and if you're not obeying God's commands. So that's kind of what I've been trying to do. Thanks.
So tell me that I don't have the best job. I'm going to invite our chairman of the board to come and pray for us as a staff and close our service. He didn't expect me to ask him, but I didn't expect to see him either. So this is Lori Moffitt, everyone.
It's great to be a fly on the wall and just step into the camp and experience what's going on there at different times. It's great to be a fly on the wall here today and just hear some of the stories and hear how the Spirit is moving up the quest. This year we're celebrating our 60th anniversary. I imagine that many of you, or some of you, have at least been touched by camp ministry in your own past. And although our day and age has changed and Satan is affecting us in different ways and our youth in different ways, God's truth is still the same. And the focus of camp ministry is still the same, that people are able to see Christ revealed to them in that setting, in a safe place where they're not threatened, but they're safe to experience the truth and God's grace. So let's just close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, this is a good day. It's your day, and we lift it up to you. We're just honored to be able to come together and worship you in your presence. We thank you for who you are and for your truth and the way you reveal your truth to people in different ways. We're thankful for each of the people here this morning, for each of the people that have spoken. We're thankful for the staff in that you have revealed yourself to each one of them in unique ways. And those people are now sharing their lives with other people. And Lord, we just trust that you lead the people to the quest that you want there. And we pray that we're faithful to you and that we seek your will and your way, Lord. We just pray that your blessings upon everyone in this fellowship here this morning. We're thankful for this opportunity that this church is part of the quest and their ministry and what we do and what we believe in. So Heavenly Father, we're just pleased to be here with you again today. We're pleased to do your will. We just pray that you'll bless this week and the weeks to come. In Jesus' name, amen.